Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, March 15th, 2026. I'm Shaw Gage on Sunday morning. So pleased and happy to have our good friend and guest in, Bubba Bussey from Bubba on the Lake is in this morning hanging out. How you doing, Bubba?
Shaw, I am honored to be here, man. I tell you, what a great setup you've got here and great studio. I'm just honored to be here.
Well, man, I appreciate that, and it's just cool how, you know, you start doing life and you start meeting people, and so-and-so says, hey, you got to call this guy. But, man, when I had an opportunity to reach out to you and just connect, what an honor it is for our listeners to listen to your wisdom and your stories.
Well,
and
just your... I don't know about wisdom. We'll see about that. But what a great story you have, man, and what a great job you're doing with this program. So we're just honored to be here.
Well, I appreciate that, and it's so cool because it's, man, it's all what the Lord's doing, and just he's giving us an opportunity to just let people know. Hey, that Jesus loves them and everything's going to be all right. And when I had an opportunity to reach out with you, I know you're an encouragement, and man, you're a lot of laughs too. So looking forward to hanging out with you this morning and just learning about life.
You know, when you list gifts that God gives you, goofy is not usually one that you reach out to get, but that's one I have been granted. And, you know, ignorance is bliss, they say. So we're just having a good time, Shaw.
I love it. Well, hey, we're going to step away for a few minutes, but we're going to come back and dig in with Bubba Bussey here on Sunday morning. We'll be back in just a few. Back on Sunday morning, I'm Shaw Gage, hanging out with Bubba Bussey this morning in studio. Again, thanks for being here. And, man, tell us what's been going on. What you been up to lately?
Well, Shaw, we've been pretty busy. Of course, for the greater part of 31 years, we had that little Rick and Bubba show going.
Right.
And when that came to an end, I took a job at Jacksonville State. I'm an assistant athletic director there in charge of broadcasting.
Okay.
And I was kind of charged with coming in and updating their whole broadcasting operation to get ready for Division I, which they were moving to. And we've been spending a lot of money for them and updating a lot of equipment. And hopefully you can see that when you watch and listen to the broadcast. We've added a lot more streaming broadcasts now. We had got a radio network. We've pretty much doubled the affiliates of that. We have a contract with ESPN Plus. We cover all of our home sporting events for soccer, football, women's and men's basketball, and baseball and softball. So between those, we have 18 varsity sports now, I think. So we cover like six. We do over 200 live broadcasts a year.
No kidding.
So I am an air traffic controller. I am trying to make sure that I have people where they're supposed to be. What I try to do, I have two full-time guys that work under me and about 25 interns that we have in the athletic department. So my main job there is to get them the equipment they need and let them do their job, and I get out of the way. I try not to be there while we're on the air. I do my work ahead of time, and then I leave them alone. And it's a great working relationship.
I love that. Just, you know, hey, you got people there to do a job, let them do their job.
Let them do a job.
Set them up for success. And let them roll.
And then we have a little podcast. We start a little production company on the side called Intergalactic Pants and Tees. And there's a long story behind that. But we do a podcast called Bubba on the Lake. And we also have done one during football season called the Tailgate Show. And we actually partnered with Radio Alabama. And they actually broadcast some of our podcasts over the radio stations on Saturday morning. So it was kind of a new thing. That's one reason I like working with Lee Perryman so much. He's kind of like me. He's like, well, why don't we try it? Let's just do something nobody's done before. Somebody says it won't work, let's try it. Let's see if we can make it work. And so a podcast that was broadcast on the radio was kind of a new concept, but it worked out very well.
Wow, that's awesome. And you're right, Lee is just a tremendous guy, and he's, again...
Your free Tesla, right,
when you started? Well, you know, now we got to go back to the drawing board on this one now. So, Lee, are you out there? Can you hear me now? So I think that phone just went... You know,
this podcast may have just gone off the air.
Beep, right, you know? Right, it's kind of like, I remember doing that when I was a young sales guy. Cell phones were just coming out, and my boss, God love him, he trained me and just it brought me up in the sales world with discipline, but he was a micromanager, and he would call me 4 or 5 times a day about the same thing. And, man, I'm a 24-year-old sales guy just getting hounded. And finally, cell phones were fairly new. It was the bag phones. And, you know, I'd be in Northwest Arkansas, and I'd go, hey, it's going to be about signal about to break up. And then I just hang up on, you know. So we always had a good time with that.
Yeah, but I try not to bother my guys too much. I get them the equipment they need. I make sure they know what they're doing, and I cut them loose and let them go.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, that's neat that you're – because that's your alma mater, right?
Yes, Jacksonville State, it is. I went to high school. I grew up in Jacksonville.
Okay.
I could see the stadium lights.
Wow.
And some of my earliest memories were going to Jacksonville State football, basketball, and baseball games. So it was really fun to be able to get back and do that. I live at the lake.
Yeah.
And it's a little drive up there.
Yeah.
And that can be a little taxing at times. But I save all my phone calls, and I try to do that while I'm driving. Yeah. Safely, hands-free, of course.
Yes, exactly.
So we try to make all that work, and we do the podcast. And so we got plenty to do. I mean, it's... we joke about being retired, but I'm working harder now than I've ever worked. It's really a little too much, you know, at times. So
yeah, well, it's amazing. My dad retired, you know, probably 10, 12 years ago now, and he worked till he was 72, and he said, you know, he called me after about a year of sitting around. He said, hey, how would I go about becoming a teacher, a substitute school teacher? And I told him, and he's been going down here to Vincent High School for the last 10 years,
really, that's great,
and just pouring into kids, and just loving on kids, and just giving them a little leadership, a little bit of that discipline we were talking about earlier. You know, but just being a role model and just giving back. And,
do you have pretty strict parents?
Yeah, I did. I mean, you know, I still do. I mean, you know, I'm still scared to death of that wooden spoon, you know. You know, it's
mine are deceased now, so I feel a little more comfortable talking about. No, I had a great childhood. I had great parents. We were in church. They made sure we were in church every time the doors opened, and fortunately, some of that sank in over time.
Absolutely.
But my dad, I was a little late on the tree. He was actually a World War II veteran.
Okay. Now,
most of my friends had dads that were in Vietnam or something like that. So he fought in the big one, WW2, and his nickname was Bodie. And Bodie he wasn't real big on, you know, a lot of humor sometimes. He was pretty much get the job done. You showed up 15 minutes early to be on time, you know, that kind of thing. And we were talking about it earlier. I don't think, you know, attention deficit disorder existed when I was a kid, because I think I may have had a touch of it, and my dad was able to remove it with a hot bottom. And so that is a possible cure we may be overlooking today. I don't know.
When I taught school, I would tell I was at a private school, so we could get, you know, a little bit deeper into that detail on the discipline stuff. And, you know, but I tell people all this, it's today's world. We have lost the fearful respect of the father, and not just the father of the house, but our heavenly father. And it shows in that, like, you asked, were my parents, you know, strict? Yeah, they were strict. I knew right from wrong. I still did wrong a lot, and I would just take that beating
I felt like it was a beating at that time. Now, being grown up now, I realize it wasn't, but having to go pick your own switch was really that was terrible.
True stuff.
And, you know, if you brought one in too little, it was worse.
You didn't want mama or dad to go back,
no.
Right?
You know? So, no, you didn't want that, y'all.
But you know what? It taught us right from wrong, and it taught us that, you know, there is a line and there is a level of respect. And, you know, look, I'm not advocating that people beat their kids or by any means any of that, but I'm saying, hey, we need to know that correction. We need, you know.
It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. Spare the rod.
Exactly.
You know, how much, you know, we have a lot of deep theology out there today. And, you know, with the internet, you have all these people, and they can analyze and run numbers. And, you know, we got Daniel's 70 weeks figured out. And all, you know, but you know, most of it's just kind of straightforward 8th grade level. I think that most people, we just don't want, it's the things we don't want to accept, and that's how I am with me. I'm like, well, that's, you know, it's a little tight right there. Let's try to analyze that away a little bit. You know,
exactly. But you know, thank goodness for parents that, you know, cared about us, loved us, and you know, taught
thank
us that
you,
right
Lord.
From wrong. Yeah. So my boys would probably tell you the same thing. Hey, I corrected them when they needed it, but you know, it taught them right from wrong.
And, I would have probably been in a lot more trouble if I hadn't had a fear of that belt.
Man,
you know?
I'm telling you. Well, we were joking earlier. We went to the Alamo. As kids, I was probably 6-7 years old, and we all got nice monogram belts, you know, with our names on the back, that nice leather Texas, you know, and the big buckle. And but then about a year later, I realized, maybe not even a year later, I realized, hey, you don't want to hear that Pete belt rattle around the back of that door, because when I heard it, it was usually coming from me or my older brother.
let me tell you, just this is one story from my childhood that I tell people, and they kind of look at you sometimes with their head tilted a little bit. I got my first gun when I was 8 years old.
Okay.
It was a 22 lever action Remington because I love the Rifleman mm-hmm. on TV.
Oh, yeah.
And when you tell somebody now you were given a gun when you were 8 years old, you know how they look at you?
Like, do what?
And my dad put that in the closet, and he said, don't touch it. Mm. If you touch it, I'm going to tear your bottom up. You know how many times I touched it?
None.
None. Even to this day, I'm a little nervous when I try to pick it up. You know what right, I mean?
Yeah, just
because I knew he meant it. He didn't count to 10. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have none of that foolishness.
No.
Look, they were very loving, but they were lines, and I knew when I went over that line what the punishment was going to be. I didn't like it. I thought it was cruel and unusual at the time, and now I thank God for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it gave us those boundaries. It gave us those limits to know, and, you know, it's. I think it's important. We got to keep passing that on to the next generation and the next one. So, but, hey, that's, you know, but again, you know, it's just cool hanging out with you and getting to spend some time, man. Just, I know you're such an encouragement, people, not only in the areas of discipline, but just fun and just, man, real life. And it's just common sense a lot of times.
I love fun. Oh, you know, I like to have a good time and cut up. And we got to do that for a living for most of my life. So thank you again, Lord.
Exactly. Well, that was a question I kind of was thinking about. Just going, you know, when you love what you do, you don't work.
Yep.
And you're good at it. I tell people all the time, I'm in the people business. I've been a teacher. I've been in sales.
Yeah.
I'm doing this now. But I just love people. I just love being around them. And I tell anybody I interact with, I said, man, I'm blessed because I feel like I just look at life and I go, I get to take field trips every day and I get to do show and tell every day. Who am I going to meet?
I know.
And what am I going to learn?
I know.
And I think when you have that approach, it just makes life fun.
You know, we probably need to put it in another segment when we come back. How long have I got today?
As long as you want.
Okay, well, good. Lee's used to talking for 4 hours, so I'm good.
Listen, Lee's gone, and he owes me a Tesla now, so we can talk as long as we want, right? I'm kidding, Lee.
Listen, it's so funny you mentioned that because I recently had a friend, and we covered this on the podcast, Bubba on the Lake, that went to get a Cybertruck in Kennesaw, Georgia. And we were going to record the whole way over and back, and I ended up with laryngitis. So we couldn't do it exactly like I wanted to do it, but we ended up putting it all together eventually. And we were over there, and I was telling this guy that I know about it, and he is anti-Tesla. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went on a 20-minute rant about electric vehicles and how he hates them, and the government's going to cut it off, and they're spying on you with the cameras. And he just went on this rant, and it was so bad, everybody around us got quiet, for a minute. So, of course, once everything kind of calmed down, I said, so you mean to tell me you don't want one? You know, I just couldn't let it go. You know what I mean? I had to poke him one more time on it. So, you know, sometimes people don't see that as fun. I do.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yeah. You just, you know, you got to have fun with it. You got to have fun with it. So, well, hey, listen, we are going to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Having a great time with Bubba Bussey hanging out on Sunday morning. We'll be back here in just a few minutes. Come on back in here. We're with Mr. Bubba Bussey on Sunday morning, hanging out. Bubba, thanks again for coming in, man.
Shaw, thank you for having me, man. This is fun. I mean, what a great studio y'all got here. I mean, Radio Alabama must be really, really doing good. I mean, this is top shelf stuff. Well, I mean, I've been in studios in New York, Chicago, L.A. They ain't got a thing on you guys.
Yeah, Silicaga does it right, man. Lee's the man. Lee is the man. So
the cog is moving up.
I like it. So, well, man, we're just hanging out, doing life, just talking about life and having fun, failures, successes, heartaches, triumphs, everything in between.
Had them all. Had them all, y'all.
Well, that's just so cool about getting you to come in and just share some of your insights. And, man, just diving kind of a different path, but we were talking earlier about a movie you were watching not too long ago.
And you may have seen it. I Can Only Imagine 2. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the second one?
I have not seen the second one.
I love the first one. We actually had a small speaking part in that. I still get a check every month from that, which is kind of, it's like $19.
Wow.
And I played a DJ. Can you imagine that?
Okay.
Andy Irwin, and we've been friends. We've known the Irwins forever. And they asked me to cut a little piece of audio, so we did that. So it's funny when you do these things. And we've done several projects like that where you get what we call mailbox money.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I have one that I get like $3 a month from, you know, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
So you usually can put them all together and you still can't buy a tank of gas, but it's fun to get them, you know.
Yeah.
And I Can Only Imagine 2.
Okay.
It deals with crisis of faith. And the first one was a lot about Bart and dealing with his dad from Mercy Me, you know, the singing group. And I think everybody's familiar with them. This one dealt with when you are doing everything right and things just don't go right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're praying and you think you're where you need to be. And your friends are praying and they're laying hands on you, but it just ain't happening. You know, it seems that God's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we deal with a lot of things as Christians and growing up. But to me, that is one of the toughest subjects that we don't talk about. You know, when you have loved ones that are sick mm-hmm. and they don't recover. Same people prayed for this guy over here and he made a miraculous recovery like you, like I have in cases.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. What, you know, what's happening, God? Where, you know.
Why?
And it really spoke to me more than the first one did.
Really?
And I was having a very tough week. And I don't have a lot of tough weeks, Shaw.
No.
Because I'm pretty upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
I usually run over it with laughter one way or the other. But I was very tired from work. We had a very good friend of ours who'd lost a child. We had several marriages that are good friends of ours that were in just disarray from one reason or another. And, you know, I was just thinking, God, we need a W here. You know, I'm a competitor. I played sports. You know, yeah. I want to win.
Absolutely.
I love to compete. And, you know, I'm like, God, we just need a W here. We're just losing on all these fronts. And it was just, I mean, it was emotionally draining to me. I told Ben, I got all teared up when I said, man, we just got to have a win somewhere.
Yeah.
What is happening here? Why is everything in the loss column all of a sudden? And I really didn't know what the movie was about till I went to it. And it was about that exact topic. And it's based on the guy in the movie. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but he would put an X on his wrist every day. And he was asked why he does that. And he said, it's to remind me that God's good no matter what's happening.
Okay,
and he's in all of it.
Yeah.
And he was asked, why don't you get it tattooed? He says, I want to put it on there every day. Mm. I need it every day. And man, that just spoke to my heart.
Mm.
And these people that were going through all this stuff, and it just... It really picked my spirit. It was a great movie. Yeah. And I don't like to cry at movies. I did cry a little bit. I'm getting emotional now thinking about it. But, you know, the last movie I cried at was Old Yeller. And I don't like it. You know, I don't like to see it either. But,
right.
You know, but it just really spoke to me. And I think it would speak to a lot of people out there, too. You know, the Christian films never get the wide release that a lot of the other ones do, but this one's still out there. So I would encourage you to see it and take it to heart, because I think as Christians, that's one of the toughest things we deal with. We know we got death out there. That's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All of us are going to deal with that unless the Lord comes back. So we better prepare for that one, you know. But it's just when so many bad things happen to good people and you think, man, are we winning this battle? What are we doing wrong? Are we not praying right? Are we, you know, are we off the page here or something? And it just really dealt with that. It was a good movie. It was very uplifting, and it really changed my attitude in a week I was struggling.
Yeah, isn't it amazing how God can use, you know, look, I know God speaks to us through his word. I know through prayer. I know that voice in my heart, the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit invades your heart, you can't not hear it.
Yep.
But God will use movies, and he will use people, and he will use a lot of different things to speak to us and to encourage us. And that's, man, again,
that's the very issue I was dealing with that week, you know, about where is God at when we have the term they use was crisis of faith.
Yeah.
And Bart was dealing with it in the movie.
Right.
Dealing with his family. And, you know, it's really been an encouragement to me. So I would encourage people to see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
That is. And just side note, but just kind of connecting dots, but did you have an opportunity during all that to meet Scott Brickle, who their manager?
No, I saw him in the movie.
Trace Atkins,
yeah,
I think, played him in the movie.
Right, he did.
I know Scott. I taught Scott two of his four children. His son was a football player and went to the public high school, but the two oldest daughters were at our school. And just, I mean, he's just a great guy. He's a big old guy.
Yeah.
Got that beard. I mean,
yeah.
Trace Atkins was a perfect guy. But just,
yeah.
And one of the daughters is actually in music, Mary Claire, so I'll share her music with you. But she's doing a great job and just a tremendous family. But that is a genuine... what you see on that screen about him, I know I've met Scott enough to know that they're just genuine people.
You know, too, I thought they captured, and I told Andy Irwin, I had him on my podcast, Bubba on the Lake, and we talked about it. I thought they caught the camaraderie of the band on the bus, because if you've ever been, you know, us guys hanging out, and, you know, sometimes we call it the locker room or whatever, but there's always jokes going on. There's always people poking at people and having a little fun. You know, it's just a guy thing. Right. That's how God made us to socialize with each other, is to have a little fun. And I thought they captured that backstage with the band and them traveling on the road. They nail that, and that was really good too.
Yeah, that's cool. And it's something special about traveling with groups like that and being, you know, because you think you're going a lot of different places, and you are, but you're together a whole lot, and you know, tensions can wear, but you got to keep it loose.
And different opinions. I mean, when it comes to bands, I mean, they're the number one group to have split up for any reason. You know, I want to play this song, I want to play it this way. You know, hey, well, I'm going to do my thing, so... they captured that really good. But anyway, I wanted to share that because I'm sure there's people listening today that are having a crisis of faith, and there is an answer for that.
Absolutely, there is. There is. And listen, on that same premise, like I shared this a while back, but I had a gentleman I worked with years ago in the early 2000s up in Nashville, and there is no God. And my mom went through this horrible cancer and died a very slow, excruciating death, and she prayed every day, and my father abused us all, and he said, where is God in that? And I said, Scott, you know, for the first time, I was like, kind of like, I didn't have an answer. Imagine that, me being speechless. Yeah. My wife laughs at that comment all the time. but Scott went over to the corner of the warehouse, and there was a pouring down heavy thunderstorm going on outside, and I was waiting on the rain so I could load my truck and go take supplies to a customer. And Scott went over and grabbed a metal rod, one of those threaded rods. It's in every warehouse corner. I don't even know what they do, but they're in every warehouse corner. Yeah. And he goes out in the parking lot, and he holds it up, and he says, if there's a God in heaven, let him strike me down now.
Oh, boy.
And I went back inside. I was like, hey, I got to step off the porch here, right?
I don't want to be in that neighborhood. And,
he came back in. He dropped that rod in front of me. He said, where's your God now? And I just went, Scott, he's not done with you yet. Yep. And all I can tell you is he just doesn't want you to be in hell for eternity. And he went back in. And, you know, a few years later, I lost my job at that company. And that was the first guy that called me and said, hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah.
And I said, man, I appreciate it. This means a lot. And I really do. And I said, hey, I want to help answer that question. Why do bad things happen? You remember that day sitting on the porch? He said, yeah, I do. I said, when I lost my job, God had been tugging my heart to go back to school, be a school teacher. And I fought it, like, on the surface level, because I hated school. I was a terrible student, ADD. We joked about that. But I knew it was a calling. And when I lost my job, I got home that day, and I sat there and watched Barack Obama's first inauguration day. Thank you. You know, and so that was that day, January 20th of 2009. And, you know, I read this story, and I was going, God, are you sure that you want me to be a teacher? And he would say, yes. And I would say, are you sure that you're sure? Yes. Are you sure that you're sure that you're doing all that? Right. And 2 days after I lost my job, I read this article about a gentleman named Irvin Lupo, and he was out in L.A. He and his wife work with insurance and hospitals, and they both lost their job the same day I did. So I clicked the link on whatever, CNN or Fox or whatever it was, and I read this story.
That's a tough thing for a man to go through, because you feel very responsible for your family, and I've been that way. I've been fired.
I'm the breadwinner. I'm the man.
I've been shown the door a few times.
Exactly. A very humbling experience.
Oh boy.
So I click and I say, well, let's see what Mr. Lupo's going through. And Irvin went home that same day, and he murdered his wife and his five children. He took his own life. Wow. And Bubba, it just broke my heart. And I just, on my knees that day in my office playroom at our house on 219 Lookout Drive in Columbia, Tennessee, I said, Lord, here I am. Send me to go find the Irvin Lupos. And wherever they go, I'm in. Yeah. And in my first time in my adult, married, being a dad of three life, I said, I'm in. And man, he's the road that's transpired in those last 16 years, 17 years have just been phenomenal. Yeah. It's not always perfect, but man, I just know. So I encouraged Scott, and I said, man, I can't tell you why that happened to that family, but I can tell you one good thing came out of it all the way across the United States is it put me over the edge to say, God, I'm in. I'm going to go back to school and get this teaching degree. So whatever that helps, you know, and look, I know people are hurting out there and they're listening and they're going, hey, man, how do I get... Best thing I can tell you is from a movie, Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming. You know, just keep swimming. Right. That's all you can do. Trust the Lord and just keep swimming.
Look, I know the truth, even if I can't feel it or see it in action. So I'm just going to hang on to that.
That's right, man. That's faith, what it's all about. That's it. So, all right. Well, cool. We're going to go pay some bills for Mr. Lee, and we'll be back here in just a few minutes on Sunday morning. Hang on. hanging out with Mr. Bubba Bussey here on Sunday morning. I'm Shaw Gage. Thanks again, Bubba, for coming in.
Shaw, thank you for having me, man. It's been fun.
Oh, yeah, man. This is a blast. It's just, you know, again, we talk about this each and every week on here, just going, like, I don't have all the answers. I'm not a preacher. I'm just trying to do life and encourage people, and had this opportunity to get you to come in and just share some experiences in life and stories. Just what a pleasure it is. So I know the audience is enjoying this time together. Kind of something we talk about from time to time on the show is just, man, there's times in life as men, right? We're going through this. We've talked a little bit about this today, but just the uncertainty.
We bros,
right? Yeah. But just, you know, I think there's a waking up of men in this country. There's just a, hey, man, it's time to stand up and do what's right. But, you know, if you're not grounded, if you don't have that backbone of faith or whatever that is, how do you get through stuff, you know? And right. Just, man, when it hits the fan, man, I understand if you don't have that faith in Christ, man, I can see why there's meltdown and why there's angst and why there's all these different things going on. But just, man, has there ever been a time for you where you just went, man, I'm not sure what's going on, but as we talked about in the last segments, hey, I'm just going to trust the Lord and go, here it is.
You know, I think back a few years ago, I had a gallbladder attack, I had to go to the hospital, emergency surgery. And if you've had that, you know, that's a rather excruciating pain that you have. It feels like somebody's knifing you and won't quit, and morphine won't touch it. Mm. And so we had our gallbladder taken out, and the surgeon that did the procedure said, he started asking me a lot of questions about my liver. And I wasn't a big drinker or anything, and he asked me if I'd had hepatitis or if I'd been in foreign country. I said, no, I don't know what's going on. He said, well, you got a spot on your liver. I don't like it. Wow. I saw it, and I don't like it. And I've done a lot of these, and he said, I biopsied it while I was in there, and it came back as negative and inconclusive. And he literally just put his arm around me and said, I've been doing this a long time. We need to go in and get that out.
Mm.
And I said, even though the test said, he said, we need to go get it.
Yeah.
And he told me, I was wearing a shirt at the time, and he said, because of where it is, I'm going to have to make an incision much bigger than we did for the gall. And I'm still got scabs from that surgery, right? I mean, I've still got stitches.
Mm.
And I'm finally feeling good. You know, you're up moving around again. And he said, we need to go get it right now. We don't need to wait. And he said, we're going to have to go in here and we're going to have to do a liver turn. I'm going to have to pull your liver around so I get a better angle at it. And we're going to microwave the spot to kill it.
Oh, my.
So it won't spread. And then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to cut it out till I get clean tissue.
Mm.
And then we're going to send that off and see what we got. And he said, the good news, your liver will regenerate.
Right.
And we'll know for sure. And if it is cancerous, we'll know where it came from. So in the meantime, they put me through a battery of other. They tested everything that they could get to. Okay, yeah. I mean upper, lower, sideways, every pet, cat, you know, MRI you can have. I mean, I was glowing from having them all. And when he took it out, he told me, he said, "This is cancerous. I have no doubt. I don't have to wait on the path report." And when it came back, it said that it was a liver cell that had, you know, changed and grown into a cancer. And a lot of times liver cancer is not liver cells. It catches it from somewhere else.
Okay.
You know, it's from your bladder. It's from, you know, something else flowing through, and your liver catches it, and then it turns into a cancer.
Yeah, interesting.
And so they, you know, for a few days there, while they were trying to decide what they were going to do, I'm laying in the hospital reevaluating, and I never felt a crisis of faith in that moment. Mm. I feel it more for other people than I did for me.
Isn't that interesting?
But I never felt concerned about it at all. I just figured it was just something we had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make you think when you're sitting there about things I have or haven't done, and if this is the end, am I happy with what I did?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can go from this almost simplistic things of thinking, hey, I've never been to Yellowstone. I'd kind of like to go to Yellowstone before I die.
Mm, love it.
Not once on the list did I think, you know, I need to spend more time at work.
Yeah, exactly.
And I had a fun job. I mean, I was on the Rick and Bubba show. We were, you know, five, six guys in there hanging out every day having fun. But And you start thinking about people that you've had relationships with. Maybe you're not in touch with them now or whatever. Not that you had a evil breakup or anything, but you're not in touch with them. You know, they're doing life, you're doing life. And you think, man, I need to reach out to him or her or whatever. And just see how they're doing. Like you said, somebody just calls you up and says, hey, man, how you doing? And as it came back, the doctor said, well, we have a way that we go about this. We look at each case, and we have five or six oncology doctors here, and we all pitch in about what we think we ought to do. And we also run it through an AI network.
Oh, wow.
That is going to look at 50, 100, 200,000 people that's had the same cancer you do. And it's going to look at the cell type. It's going to look where it was. It's going to look at your body weight, your height, your blood type, everything we can feed into a computer. It's going to analyze it. And wow. It's going to spit out how all these people's cases turned out when they were treated in different ways.
That's amazing.
And he said, what we really like to do is when our committee comes up with an answer and AI comes up with an answer and they match. And he said, in your case, it matches. And let me tell you what we're going to, and I'm thinking chemo, radiation, what are you going to dip me in, you know, fluid? What are you going to do?
Right.
You know? He said, we're not going to do a thing. We're just going to keep an eye on it. We got it all. We got good margins around it. And the recommendation from our staff and from our AI partner in this is just keep an eye on it. Mm. We're going to scan you every 90 days for a year. Then we're going to go to 6 months and we're going to 1 year. And at 5 years, we're going to declare you cured and you're going to move on. And we don't worry about it anymore. It's done.
Right on.
So at each and he said, that's what we're going to do. We're not going to do anything. So I made it through the first year and the second year. And he told me, he said, at this point, there's less than a 1% chance it's going to return. But right. we're going to keep these tests. We're going to do it a year. And I have my 4-year scan coming up this summer. And in one more year, it will be declared cured. So it was a chance to refocus a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, God was with me. Betty was, she was awesome during that. I never worried about it. But I did want to think about, am I spending every minute the way I want to and all the time? And you know, as the Rick and Bubba show wound down a couple of years ago, I've told Lee this several times. And I tell you, I said, you know, I just want to have fun. You know, I don't want to just keep grinding all the time. I like what I'm doing now. It's fun. I like the people I work with. I work with some awesome people at Jack State, by the way. And But I don't want to get bogged down in the minutiae of profit and loss statements and income tax returns and property taxes and all that. Let's get on a pontoon boat and have fun.
Right.
Let's
on.
Tell stories.
Yeah, I love it.
Let's throw some prayer up. Let's throw some praise up. You know, And that's what I'm trying to do and trying to get to that point each and every day. So I've reconnected with a lot of friends that I haven't talked to since high school and just call them up. A lot of them call me and say, hey, man, you did nice. I'm good. How about you?
That's awesome. And, you know, and that's what it's all about, right? And I mean, I think we shared this a little bit earlier off air, but in my regular day-to-day job during the week, like last week, I had probably 10% of my week was talking about work, about gas and welding and all the stuff that I do. 90% was about, man, my mom, it's got a customer, one of my better customers, general manager of the plant, his mom just passed away 2 weeks ago. Man, I'm struggling. We came back from lunch with me and another rep, and this gentleman sitting in my truck pulled up where I thought was 30 minutes and just talking life and faith and prayer and Jesus. We spent over an hour sitting in my pickup truck. Who does that? But you had three different men, three different ages, three different stages of life with kids and marriage and three different denominations and all that. Right. But we just came together with, man, what's going on? And how can we help you, brother? And so, I mean, I think you've got that same spirit. And it's just like, I think at a certain point you get to life where you just go, number one, I don't really care what anybody thinks anymore.
Right, right. My filter has gone away.
I mean, like, you know,
every birthday that filter drops a little bit lower. And sometimes that's not always good because I'll just tell you what I think. You may not want to hear it. You
that's
know?
Exactly right. But it's just, you know, man, coming together and trying to encourage one another and trying to just be real and be genuine.
Yeah.
And
you know, too, Shaw, I really think, you know, you have to back up. Being in sports – If you've ever been on the sideline of a football game, it's the worst view you can have.
Oh, yeah.
You got coaches calling plays that can't see what's happening. That's why they have somebody on the radio up in the press box. And by the opposite of that, if you go to the press box, you see the whole field.
Yeah.
You know, I sit up there and I go, well, the quarterback, the tight end was wide open. Why didn't he throw it to him? Exactly. He had a guy streaking down the sideline open. Why didn't he throw it to him? Well, he can't see it on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it kind of occurred to me, maybe that's what life is like. You know, we're on the playing field and we can't see the whole field. There's people in our face. There's people trying to tackle us. Some people are blocking for us. They're trying to help us out.
Yeah.
But we're down there in the minutiae of what's going on. We're bleeding and cutting, you know, and, you know, trying to survive. And, you know, if we can get on that radio.
Yeah.
Through prayer.
Exactly.
You know, to the press box where they got a view.
Yeah.
They know what's going on.
That's right.
That is a much better thing. And, you know, death is going to, like we were talking earlier, it's coming to everybody unless the Lord tarries and he calls us up. So why not just be prepared for it? I'm not saying it's not going to be sad and you're not going to miss that person. And you know, it's a loss in your life, you know, especially if it's a close family member. But we know it's going to happen. So we just got it. We got to mentally get prepared now for that day so it's not devastating to us. And if you're a believer, you know, the Bible tells us it is, you're much better off on the other side of the grass than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Now, people don't want to hear that.
No.
But it says that.
Yeah, it does.
And now, that doesn't mean go out there and jump off the building. You know, that's right. Not what it means either. We don't want to test God on that.
No.
But our loved ones, whoever they are, who've gone before us, I believe wholeheartedly, if they're standing there in heaven while our funeral is going on, and Jesus said, I can send you back right now if you want to go. If you want to go home, you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to say, I'm already home.
Right.
I'm waiting on them. I ain't going back to that mess again. So when you can really get into that perspective of it, I think it makes it easier. It's never easy because we have a loss. We do. We have a person that was in our life, and we're always going to miss them until we're reunited. But I think if you can go to the press box and take a look at the field, it helps you to deal with it. And it doesn't become something that destroys you.
Right.
And I know so many people, and you do too, that death has just crippled them.
Mm.
And it's not supposed to.
Right.
It's supposed to be a speed breaker. It's a bump in the road. It's not a dead end.
Mm-mm.
And we've got to get to that mentality. And we can only do it through our relationship with God.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good word, good encouragement right there. Because it is, man. Some people just, you know, death is hard. But when you know, and you know that person's a believer, man, it doesn't make it the pain go away, but it's more of a celebration because you know you are going to see him again one day.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. When you transition, okay? Yeah. Shaw, this is the thing that blows me away. We are made in God's image. We're eternal beings.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal beings. You, me, everybody listening is going to exist forever.
Right.
And ever and ever. And when you get to that point, you still got forever to go.
Exactly.
It doesn't end. Our 8 pounds of gray matter cannot comprehend it.
Mm-mm.
We just can't. We're not made to comprehend it because we are in a physical body.
Yep.
And I used to have a friend that called it an earth suit. He said, we're in an earth suit for a little time, but we're about to be, it's like a caterpillar.
Right.
We're about to be butterflies.
That's right.
And it's coming.
Here it comes.
And there ain't nothing going to stop it.
That's right.
So if you remember that, and if you think you're an eternal being and you know you're an eternal being, then why not make simple choices on earth to reflect that?
Yep.
As opposed to getting caught up in the day-to-day stuff that's so meaningless.
Yeah.
And look, I love sports. Yeah. Okay. I'm a competitor. We talked about that earlier. I'm not going to lose my mind over a bunch of 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids that lose a basketball or football game.
Yeah.
It's fun to scream and holler and the band play. When it's over, guys.
That's right.
It doesn't mean a thing.
That's right. You know, and that's so true. You know, it's when you go through things, you start realizing, hey, what's important and what's not. Just a recalibration and a perspective, recalibration. Absolutely. There. So, hey, listen, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes hanging out with Bubba Bussey on Sunday morning. It's been a great time, and we got plenty more. So go grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and we'll be back here in just a few. Bubba, we were just talking. We're back in studio. We were just talking about Warren Zevon, you know, musician, Werewolves of London.
Werewolves of London.
Right, you know, and he said something. Man, we might get a
deal
here.
It's hard to stop when you start doing it.
It really is contagious, too, right? And you say that name, and people will look at you like, who? And then you do, you know, and then they go, okay, now he's talking about it. So I saw something pretty cool on Facebook this past week, but he had a quote years ago. He was on David Letterman, and Warren had been diagnosed with lung cancer, and he was 6 months to live. And Letterman was a big fan, and it was the only time I know that he did it, but that was the only guest on that night. He'd come out and he'd play a song, and he'd come sit on the couch and talk for a minute, and then he'd go play a song and just back and forth. Yeah. And it was just a real, I mean, you got six. So David Letterman was like, man, I'm just going to give you this opportunity at your stage. Sure. And so at one point in the interview, he asked him, he said, what advice would you give to people that may be going through something? I mean, 6 months to live, what do? I mean, you can't live enough every day just to get it all in. And Warren sat back and he just gave that look into the camera. I'll never forget it. And he said, enjoy every sandwich. And I went, at first it was kind of goofy, but then I started thinking about it. And for all these years, I've thought about it and I've shared that quote with friends and students and players and customers, anybody that will listen to me for long enough, usually hears that come out of my mouth. Well, this past week I was reading on Facebook that interview was done on October 30th, 2002, which I put that together and said my wreck where I found my cancer was October 30th of 2012. Wow. So that was 10 years later. So I've always had a connection with that quote, but it was just a good reminder of enjoy every sandwich. And I know last segment we were just talking about that, but just keeping things in perspective and just, you know, I mean, look, I should have been dead a lot of different times in my life, but thank the Lord I'm still here. But we're never promised tomorrow. I mean, we could go down here in this train that keeps, you may hear in the background from time to time.
I started to say, the studio might be caving in at this exact moment.
As we speak.
I don't know what that was.
So it's just, you know, so just keeping that perspective and just enjoying every sandwich. Because, you know, how many times do I go out to eat and I leave the French fries and I don't even eat them all? Not that I need to eat more French fries, but you know what I'm saying. But what did we even eat last night? And I didn't even enjoy the flavor. But just if you really stop and think about it, enjoy every single bite or every single, you know, hanging out with your wife or your kids. Or whatever it may
be. You know, I think, and I know a lot of people don't like to think about death, going back to the last segment, but once you deal with that and you can put it to bed, life is about how the sandwich is.
Oh,
you know,
man, exactly.
I mean, it's so much fun. Life is a blessing, and, you know, we're all dealt different cards. We don't all start at the same place, but, you know, we all have that thing, and especially in our country, you have incredible opportunity to do whatever you want to do. And if you're driven and you want to, you know, reach great heights, you can do that. If you just want to cruise, you can do that. You know, it's just, we're so blessed to be living in the country we live in today. I saw, especially with the events going on in Iran, all the people in the streets just cheering and calling, you know, USA, and we're bombing their city while they're doing that. But they just want to be free. They don't want religion anymore. They want a relationship.
Right.
And my friend David Nasser, who is Iranian, I had him on the podcast too, Bubba on the Lake. And he talked about that they're used to having a religion shoved down their throat. Mm. Where as Christians, we're not worried about religion. We're worried about relationship. And if we'll keep that perspective, man, God tells us, you know, chase me first and I'll add all the other things to you.
That's right.
And when you get that in order, it just, y'all, lights come on.
Yeah.
The lights are on. Here we go.
That's right.
It's a grand thing. What a gift every day is.
That path gets straight, right? Yep. It may not be an easy path, but it's straight.
It's straight. And look, none of us are promised an interstate ride through life.
That's
you know,
exactly
we got a lot of country roads to go on, and there's going to be some bridges out.
There's going to be some potholes and some gravel. Yeah.
But we know how it ends. I've read the end of the book. I'm good. Let's go. Here we go.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I was talking to a friend the other day today, and it was just like with all the stuff going on in our world, we know where it's going as believers, yeah. right? You know, you believe the Bible, and I do. You know how it ends, and Jesus is going to conquer it all in the end. So, but still, when you watch the news and you see what's going on, you can't help but just be hurting for people that don't know, that don't have that faith, and right. don't have that, you know, similar right. to the health thing, but just with the circumstances of life and pop culture and world news and all that, man, people are, where they're scrambling, and what are they running to? They're running to their phones, and they're yeah. going to the next thing, and it's just like, man, that phone's not going to solve your problems. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with these phones,
right,
but
right.
we got to go
find some Jesus quotes on
right.
there.
Yeah, exactly.
You can read some Bible stuff on there.
But, you know, we got to do more of this, you know, one-on-one right. and putting these phones right. down and just having conversations and going, man, I tell people this all the time. I don't care your politics. I don't care your gender, whatever you think you are anymore, because mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many there are, but we won't even go there.
I think there's two. I think it was outlined, right, but
it's just a whole different conversation. I sit here and picture my grandparents going, y'all are talking about what? I mean, good grief.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it?
You know, and all the stuff, but it's just all division, right? And I think when we look at it in that context, if we look at what divides us, we're going to be divided, and we focus on that.
You know, our enemy is the father of lies, but he's also the father of chaos.
Yep.
And chaos comes in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. It comes in a busy schedule.
Yep.
We can have chaos debating the Bible.
Yep.
You know, and he loves that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've tried to, as I got a little bit older, be slower to anger and just sit back and let people be who they are and not try to change them, but yet let them know the good news.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes we don't see the results. Yep. We won't. Immediately, and that can be discouraging, I think, to some people.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not all there to harvest. Some of us are seed planters. And, you know, we've always tried to do that with a radio show and let people see that. And, you know, we didn't hit them over the head. We were not a Christian radio station or a Christian show,
mm-hmm.
but we were Christians doing a radio show. So uh-huh. we knew what to do. And we didn't do it right all the time. We failed. I mean, every night when I'd go to bed, Shaw, I would go, you know, we talked about this today, and I didn't handle that well, or I said something to somebody I shouldn't have said, you know, and you kind of think about it when you go to bed. But we were moving in the right direction. And I'm not going to get caught up on the small failures. I think that's another weapon of the devil to keep reminding you of your failures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and back to your point, I mean, sometimes, you know, I tell my kids this all the time, well, they're grown men now, but I'm like, you know, the enemy doesn't just want you necessarily coming to a satanic church and worshiping.
No,
he just wants
no.
you to turn your back and go, you know what, I don't need to be involved in that ministry.
Well,
I don't need to go help my neighbor.
All he wants you to do is question.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And we saw that in the very first story in the Bible. So it can be as simple as a fruit tree or a lot of other things. So I just don't want to play. I don't want to play on that playground.
Well, I think about years ago. I was 20, 21 years old, and I lost my first grandparent. I was blessed to have both sets of grandparents into my 20s, and my grandmother passed away, and I started hanging out with my grandfather a whole lot, and we were close. We were probably best friends. You know, in my late teens, early 20s, because he was that confidant, right, that guy. I mean, right. I could talk to my dad too, but
granddad was a little cooler,
you could kind of be a little more honest with grandpa about
and
what was going on.
He wouldn't get on you like your dad would.
He didn't have that peep belt we were talking about earlier. But
he'd give you a cookie right before dinner, you know. Don't tell your mama.
Exactly. And you got his stories too, right?
Yep.
So he was a little more honest with us about it than he was with his own kid. But anyway, I started going to church, and I started really getting pulled into like, okay, what is life all about? Those life questions, and where am I going and all this? And I really, it's when I turned my life over to the Lord as an adult for the first time and really meant it. And there's a gentleman over at First Baptist Church of Columbiana, Mike Miller. He's still there today, but he preached a sermon. This would have been about 97, 98, something like that. But it was titled, I got the bulletin when I walked in the door. It was titled, Losing Your Religion. I went, I'm leaving. I'm going to the golf course. I don't want to get struck by lightning.
He's quoting a song, isn't he?
Exactly. You know, so it's kind of cool. But Mike preached that day, and the basic premise of the message was, look, we spend so much time and energy focusing on why we're different from the Methodists and the Episcopalians and right. da 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 da, right. and our doctrine's superior and theirs is, and all that. He said, and really it just boils down to who wants to get first to the fried chicken restaurant after church.
Right,
that's really the difference in denominations. But he said, we spend so much time and energy focusing on what separates us.
Right.
as opposed to what brings us together. And that's
major and on the minors, I call
exactly
it.
Yeah. I love that. And he said, it's we got to focus on what brings us together, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ that hung on the cross for you and for me.
Yep.
And
amen.
We start focusing on that, man, it makes a difference, and we start healing, and we start conversating. Look, I tell people this all the time. I don't want you to believe what I believe. I want you to just ask God who he is. And I'm not the judge. I'm not the jury. Right. I'm just a witness, and I can tell you what he's done in my life, and he can do the same for you. You just got to reach out.
And he's there when you feel him, when you see miracles happen, and when they're not happening, he's still there.
Man, so good. Wow, man, we're going to get to preaching here in a minute.
Put an X on my wrist. Here we go.
I love it. Well, hey, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes hanging out with Mr. Bubba Bussey on Sunday morning. Back on Sunday morning, I'm Shaw Gage, hanging out with Bubba Bussey in studio. Bubba, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us today.
Shaw, I knew of you. I had heard of you. I had heard your show before, but I had never met you. So it has been a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. And it's just cool, man. When I think when the Lord brings stuff together and just conversations like this, it's just supposed to happen. And the whole story of how I got here and how you got to where you are and to end up here, sitting here on mid-March and going, hey, man, we're just guys trying to do life together. It is cool, and it's just fun when the Lord's working. So, man, I know we've talked a lot this morning about different things, but just one thing I want to ask you about as we wrap up here, but the importance of family, just, you know, your backbone. I mean, tell me, you know, shout out to your family. I know how it is when things going on.
My wife, the lovely Betty Lou, who helps me on the podcast and is also our bookkeeper, we've been married 37 years this summer.
Wow.
And what a miracle that is. Anybody to put up with me for that long is incredible. I have a son named Hunter. He is, I might think the age here now. I think he's 28. He works with me full time now on the podcast.
Okay.
And he also does another podcast with a group called The Barn that covers Auburn sports, and he has a show on there called The Social Hour.
Okay.
And it's 30 minutes long. So I appreciate that humor in that.
Very cool.
My daughter, she works in D.C. She's worked at the Capitol for a few years, and now she's working for a media company there that handles campaigns. So she actually goes out and their company takes on people who are running for office, and they manage their campaigns for them. So she loves that stuff. It's so funny. She cared nothing about politics growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And about the time she graduated is when Trump went in the first time. And she got interested in politics just because of how bizarre all of that was a little bit. And she ended up majoring in political science and communications at Auburn.
Really?
And went to D.C. to do an internship and she came back to Montgomery to work for a little while, but she just missed D.C. and missed being in the hustle and bustle of all that. And we go up and see her every now and then. She gives a great tour. And great restaurants in D.C. I had no idea. We went and sat in the booth where JFK proposed to Jackie.
Really?
And there's this one, and all the presidents have had their own booth in this place. And they, you know, you go and you eat in the, you know, whatever booth you want to, Bill Clinton or George W. Bush or whoever, you know, I'll hold the jokes on that. But it's something else. But we've enjoyed, Betty was worried about working with Hunter. She said, I don't know if y'all going to get along doing working together, but it's great. I talked to several dads whose sons work for them, and it's been very good. And I would have regretted if we hadn't done it, down the road. But Betty's really the funny one in the family. She needs to do her own podcast. We've threatened to do one called Betty Say What?
Oh, yeah.
And so she may take over the reins here in a few years, and I'm going to stay on the pontoon boat and download podcasts.
I love it. That's great. Well, that's cool. I mean, it's what it's all about is family. You know, people talk about it all the time. What's your why? Man, it's family. It's wife and kids. Yeah. And, you know, not only just doing life together, but, man, when we're going through life and, you know, the valleys, if you will, man, it's so important to have that family around you and that support system. I know sounds like you've got a great support system around you, as I do as well.
They keep me straight, let me say that.
You know, there's nothing like family. I'll tell this one. You'll appreciate this. We went to a Mexican restaurant for dinner last week, and my middle son Sam was in town from North Carolina.
Is it cheap Mexican?
No.
We always call it cheap Mexican, but it ain't cheap anymore.
Nothing's cheap anymore, but my middle son was in from North Carolina for a few days doing some work here in Birmingham, and so on a Tuesday night, we went and said, we're going to go eat. Yeah. And invited my parents. And, you know, as we talked earlier, those filters are getting, you know, shorter and shorter. Yeah. So we're sitting at dinner, and Sam and my wife Janet come in a little bit late. They had to take another car. And as we're getting ready to wind down the dinner, this man behind us stands up at a table, and he's got, you know, gray or Arctic blonde, as I like to call it, hair. And it's kind of like mine. And he's got his sunglasses flipped up on his head, which is what I normally do. And Sam said, he said,
Daddy, can I use that line, Arctic blonde?
Arctic blonde. Yeah. You like that?
I've got to use
that. That's a good one.
Yeah, because I qualify.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I hear you. Well, Sam goes, Dad, we thought that was you when we walked in, and then we realized it wasn't. I turned around. Well, I said, well, he is a handsome fella, isn't he? And he had stood up, and my mother, I love her, but she turned around, she looked one look at him, and she turned back to me and goes, yeah, but he's a whole lot skinnier than you are.
Come on, mom.
Easy. So a little middle child syndrome going on there, but got to love it. But family's what it's all about. And just, man, I know you got a great crew behind you. Yep. And that's all. Well, hey, listen.
Closing thought today.
Yes, sir.
For everybody out there, you can do this. Life is a blessing.
Yep.
It is a gift. If it's on top of you right now, do a reversal. Mm. And there's one way to do it, and that's through Jesus Christ.
Right.
Get to know him.
Yeah,
in relationship, not religion.
And it's not mine relationship that you can do. It's not, you know, it's not Bubba's. It's to your parents, your preacher. It's, man, God gave us Jesus Christ, and he gave us that direct link. And, you know, 1 Peter 5:7, I was reading this the other day. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yep.
It's all grace. It's nothing we can do to buy it, to earn it, to trade it. It's just because it's his love. And I can't get past that.
You can't get away from it.
You can't get past that when you really start thinking about it. So grace. So, again, if you're hearing our voice out there, just hang in there. It's going to get better. And if it's going good, man, go bless somebody that you know is hurting. And God's going to lay somebody on your heart. But just reach out and shake that hand or hug that neck or just a smile sometimes could just change a world.
You know, I learned something, too. If you pray for God to put somebody in your path that you need to help, stand by, because you're going to get it.
Oh, yeah.
You might get two or three.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a blessing, right?
Absolutely. You know, again. Hey, listen, when you help folks out, they're blessed, but you're blessed, too. Mm-hmm. It's a great feeling. Great feeling. I love to see people smile and laugh. We've done that our whole life. There's nothing better than somebody laughing and having a good time.
Well, you've certainly got a gift for it. I know you've blessed a lot of people, and you've been a blessing here today.
Thank you,
Shaw. We appreciate you coming
too,
out.
Brother.
Hey, how can we catch you? Tell us more about it.
Real simple. Our website is bubbaonthelake.com. And that is the name of our flagship podcast. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. I run into people every day, and this breaks my heart. They go, Bubba, I miss you on the radio show. I wish you were there. I said, do you listen to the podcast? They go, no, I don't even know what a podcast is. Do I have it already? I said, no, let me show you this. You got an iPhone, you got Android. I can do this real quick. Pull up that podcast app where it's the search. You go, Bubba on the Lake. Boom, you're going to see it pop up. You hit subscribe, follow, whatever the terminology is on yours. And guess what? When I put an episode out, it shows up on your phone automatically. You get a notification. Hey, Bubba just put out another podcast. It's number 50, and he's doing this, you know. And all you do is hit play. If you got it in your car and you got hands free, it'll play through the speakers. Wow. It's you can't beat it.
It's so easy, even I can do it, right?
That's right.
Well, check him out, Bubba. I know you have a lot of fans out there, and a lot of people glad to hear that, where they can find you. And y'all check him out. Go give him a listen. And man, just again, thank you so much for coming in and hanging out with us.
Thank you, Shaw.
Not only here, but just the blessing you've been in and around the state and really the country and all that for as long as you guys have. It's been a tremendous opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. And just, man, just appreciate you and your testimony.
Come see us at the lake.
We will do.
We'll pick up this conversation on the pontoon.
Hey, man, that sounds good. I'm in. Hey, thanks again, Bubba. We'll be back here next week on Sunday morning. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 1065, radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.